and out. And together we will say the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And take your palms, put them upwards, and blow the vibration of this prayer into your palms. And take that as a cup of blessing through your entire being. So we've gone past the date of Murshid's, and for those that are new, when I use the word Murshid, it's a teaching, teacher of the Indian lineage. His name is Hazrat. Hazrat being an honorific title for someone that's deceased. His name was Inayat Khan, and he was an Indian philosopher, an educator, a professor, and at a certain age, he decided to dedicate his life to this message of spiritual liberty, the unity of religious ideals, and the path of inner realization. And so when I say Murshid or Hazrat Inayat Khan, they are one and the same. And Murshid passed, I don't know, what is it now? Gemma, you maybe know, 118, 119 years ago. And we always acknowledge that passing date, and that was on February 5th. And I was, as I was reflecting on the great vastness of teachings that Inayat Khan gave us in a very short period of time, I also turned to his biography and autobiography, especially during that time, around his birthday, also his passing day, and the day in which the message was really birthed and came to the West. And there's this wonderful quote in the biography, and it goes like this. Inayat, this is referred to as Inayat. Inayat always remembered the words of his Murshid, who said, "There are many ties which make people friends in the world, but there is one tie which is the closest of all, and that is the relationship between Murshid or teacher and Murid or student, that relationship. Which is a friendship which never ends, for it is the path of God and truth, and it is eternal." And so I thought also now, at the very beginning, let's remember Murshid, but also all of our teachers that have inspired us, whether they lived centuries ago, whether they are alive with us now, or whether they have already let go of their bodies, they're still living. And let's tune to them in this breath, in this moment, and invoke them to be here with us during this beautiful time together. So take a moment. I'll share with you a practice that I've done for many years, even before I came to move at this beach, and maybe that's why I'm here. At night, some of you know that know me very well, know I have always had trouble sleeping, even as a child. So there's all kinds of tricks that you do, and some people count sheep. I count teachers. So I've always imagined, in a line of succession, my various teachers walking and making footprints and following in each other's footprints in the sand. And I'm at the very end of the line following in their footsteps. That is the thing that helps me sometimes fall into a deep and blessed sleep. So, and now some of you are in the snow, so you may imagine your teachers walking through the snow being your Sherpas, and then you're following in their footsteps. But it's a lovely practice, and I share it with you. It may be of benefit, it may not. But it's been useful to me, and I love it. And I remind myself, my teachers, as I recite their names, as I'm taking my last breaths into sleep. So today we want to talk about the infinite and the finite. And there's this quote from Anayakan's teachings. This quote is from the Gayan. Time and space are but the length and breadth of the infinite. The length and the breadth of the infinite. So in some senses, time and space, we define in finite terms, but they're really infinite. It's a convention of convenience, let's say, to refer to time and space in the way that we do. And then I've drawn upon this body of teachings, which I've edited, but you know I always provide the link to the whole text, that's called What is Wanted in Life? And I thought that this teaching relates very beautifully to this concept of the finite and the infinite. And it also is very good advice for life, because certainly we're all dealing every day. Life is that way. We have challenges, but do we see the bigger picture? And Murshid's giving us some instructions of how to maybe look at things in a bigger, broader way. So this is the question that Murshid asked, Anayakan asked. What is wanted in life? So he's giving this as a lecture. He's looking out at people and he's asking this question, and I'm asking all of you, what is wanted in your life? What is it? And Murshid says, if this question were asked of several people, each would perhaps make a list of not less than 1,000 things that one wants. You know, the old genie in the bottle, I grant you 3 wishes. Well, the first wish should be 3 more wishes, but at any rate. So what do we want in life? What is it that we want? You know, being very clear about it can help it come into actualization. That's kind of a clue. But it's not in this paper, but I'll tell you it's so. Then he says, after writing 1,000 things that one wants, one rarely knows what one really wants. So even after making this exhaustive list, we may say, wait a minute, there's one more thing. Oh, I forgot to list this. Oh, well, maybe I should have listed that. He says, what one apparently wants in life is not really what one wants in life, because the nature of the outer life is an illusion. The nature of the outer life is an illusion. All you have to do is watch the news. All you have to do is watch the weather. All you have to do is watch your own body over the years. It's all an illusion. It's all changing and it's all passing and it's all impermanent. So think about it. Whatever those wishes and those I would say not just wishes or desires, are aspirations. What are our aspirations? Those are real and those will inform the soul. This is my commentary on this. So Murshid goes on to say, as soon as one feels I want this in life, then the world of illusion answers, yes, you want me in life. This is the particular thing you want in life. When a person finds a lack in life, they also find a lack in the outer. They do not find the lack which is within themselves. So Murshid's pointing, don't be looking there for your inspiration, for your happiness, for your fulfillment. You look within. Knowing that once we go through the various surfaces of notions of self, the ego, the outer expressions of who we think we are, there's something much deeper. There's a core that is infinite and it's eternal. And that is really, I think, in some ways, what Sufism gives to us is it's giving us that indication. And it's not unlike when Jesus pointed here. Here and here, but I mean, I have to go up a little bit. You know, it's like you look up there, that what's in there, what's from above is here within. So we have to look within. And sometimes if one can do that and use the current of the breath, that's the real magic carpet ride, is going within and finding that inner core that's beyond all names and forms, beyond all fears and judgments, something eternal. That's the thing we've come with, and that's the thing that we will leave with. And the in-betweens are very important because they're like these beautiful gems or jewels that are ornaments, I would call them ornaments to the soul. And those we can take with us, and perhaps, God willing, if we pass other souls on their return, we can offer those jewels to them. So think about it. It's a beautiful thing to think about, that the outer world isn't the thing that's going to fulfill us. It's the inner world. Now, Murshid goes on to say, coming to the central theme, I would say that if there's anything that we can all be in accord with, it is this, or is it, it is that, is what the paper says. What we lack in life is to be tuned to the infinite. What we lack in life is to be tuned to the infinite. We could replace infinite with the word God, divine, presence, intelligence, wisdom. You can replace that word infinite, but what we lack in life is to be tuned to the infinite and to be in rhythm with the finite. That's okay. Now we can close the Zoom window because that's the whole teaching right there. We lack the ability to tune to the infinite and to be in rhythm with the finite. So what we see, what's tangible around us, what's going on around us, what's going on in the news, what's going on in COVID, those are the things that we find ourselves out of rhythm with, or they may make us feel out of rhythm. So what was the term in the 60s and 70s, go with the flow? It's not exactly like that, but it's tuning in a way. It's tuning ourselves, tuning our instrument. In simple words, to be in rhythm with the conditions of life and to be in tune with the source of our existence. So Rabia Basra would have many years ago said, eating the bread of this world and doing the work of that world. It's like that. We're tuned in both ways. We think that if these conditions change into something that we wish, it would make life easier. We think that if the conditions would change into something that we want, it would make life easier. Have any of you lived long enough to realize that sometimes what we want and we get it is exactly what we don't need? Anyone else? Anyone else experience that? Okay, so we have to be mindful. Sometimes we're getting exactly what we want and what we need. At the same time, we just don't know it's what we want. But there is a divine intelligence working. And when you live long enough, that's the beauty of a long life. You start to get that perspective. You start to get a little more patient. And then Murshid, I'll go back one sentence. We think that if the conditions change into something that we wish, it would make life easier. But that is an inexperienced expectation. That is an inexperienced expectation. If we were placed in the same situation that we just now desired as best, we would not say we are quite satisfied. We would find lacks in that condition also. It's as if nothing is perfect, and it's perfect in its imperfection. It's like an oxymoron or a koan, but it's true. And you remember, some of you remember a few months ago, I sent around that paper, Thank You God for Everything. It was the story of the little bird that was practically dying. And it was in such despair and it was suffering so much. And it had asked this beautiful dove that was going to visit God, will you please ask God when my suffering will end? And the bird, the divine presence told the dove, you know, it's going to suffer for a long time. But the dove didn't want to break the little bird's heart by telling him that. So he said, your suffering will end soon. The little bird believed that. And also the message was, be thankful for everything. So even your suffering, because it's teaching you something. So the next time the dove passed by on his way to heaven, he saw that this little bird was doing quite well. This little bird had feathers. It was living under a tree that had been in the desert before. There was water. There was beautiful fruits coming from the tree. And the dove said, well, what happened? And he said, well, I remembered just to be thankful for everything. So when my little feet were burning, I said, thank you, God, for everything. And when I didn't have food, I said, thank you, God, for everything. And when I had pain, I said, thank you, God, for everything. And then all these blessings came from it. I mean, how extraordinary. So when something is not so good, maybe just say, thank you, God. And not in a naive way, but in a way that in there too is a blessing. And I was speaking with someone the other day about the nature of suffering. Oh, yeah, I have really interesting conversations. But I said, you know, the nature of suffering is such that it is the thing that gets us to our next steps. It is not, you know, unicorns and rainbows that get us to our next step, because if unicorns and rainbows are all around us, we're not asking for God's help and we're not thinking a lot about God. But when we're taken down a few notches for our health or loss of work or, you know, just all the many challenges. And, you know, if you're here on Zoom, we're all doing pretty well compared to a lot of people in the world. We have to admit that. So right there and then we have to be thankful. We have a computer, we have electricity, and we have each other. Let's be grateful. Thank you, God. But remember, there is a blessing in all things. And now I've had it said enough. I'm going to go back to Murshid's words because he's about to tell us that. So Murshid says, with all errors and mistakes and lapses which we find in our external life, we see a perfect hand working behind it all. A perfect hand working behind it all. If we look at life a little further than we look at it generally, we would certainly find that all the lacks and errors and mistakes and faults sum up to something, making life as complete as the wise hands which are working behind to wish it to be. So, you know, again, even a Rabi quote, you all probably know it. If we unmuted, we could all say it together. Seek to know that which transpires behind that which appears. Seek to know that which transpires behind that which appears. The big picture, the hidden blessing, the inner teaching, what is it? Okay. A little bit more, and then I'd like for us to do a practice together. And I think we've never done this practice together. Hope that it'll be emphasize this teaching and it'll be something you can carry with you. There's a quote that Murshid gives us here, and he says it's a Persian saying, and it highlights or maybe encapsulates what we've been talking about here. It says, the gardener of this garden of the world knows best which plant to rear and which plant to remove. And you know, in nature, it's that way. The antidote to every poison is very nearby. A quick story to tell about that. I was I was in India, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time there. And I was walking along a wall. I mean, there, you know, insurance, forget about it. I mean, there's these narrow walls on a sheer cliff. And if it's, you don't have any way to get to there, you walk that narrow wall. And I was with a friend, and that person had kind of slipped. And there were sort of tall something, we didn't know what it was, growing near. And when that person's leg slipped, they had a loose pant on, and the leg went down into this greenery. And when the leg came up, it was filled immediately with redness and kind of blisters, like it had been burned. And this young boy ran towards my friend and took her hand and drug her into a kind of alley. I mean, I, of course, followed right away because we had no idea what he was doing. But he had grabbed some other green plant and he asked her to pull her pant leg up. And when she did, he rubbed this other green. He crushed it in his hand and he rubbed it on her leg and it immediately soothed it. So the one plant was the stinging nettle, which is not like stinging nettle here. It's like almost like a tree. And I think the other one was what they call a plantain. You know, when we're in the Ozarks, it's also the antidote to mosquito bites or poison ivy. It can help soothe that. So always nearby, the poison is the cure. And in that way, also, whatever may in our lives be poisoning our life, the cure is nearby. Keep that in mind. Seek that cure. Tune to that cure. Ask for that cure. You may not know what it is. We're not infinitely wise, but sometimes if we surrender, the answer comes and we open the way for something to shift and change. I could go on and on. You don't want me to, the countless things that have happened in my own life in this way. But I believe it because I know it's true. And it's never because I know what the answer is. It's through prayer, through surrender, through being optimistic that perhaps the next turn of the corner, the next person I meet, the next encounter might be the answer or something to change the circumstances. So be open, remain open. God, the divine, whatever name you want to give, that presence works through and in all things. So I'd like to work with these two sacred names. They're in Arabic. And one is Kabir, not Kabir. This is Kabir, K-A-B-I-R. There's a slight, if you speak Arabic at the end, there's a slight Kabir. It's a little bit roll of the tongue, the R. We hear that in Spanish languages as well. Maybe a little bit in Italian, that R at the end. What does Kabir mean? Kabir is greatness itself. Kabir is the perfection of this greatness. And Kabir is something, it's a quality that is outside of time and space. Those is this idea of the infinite and the eternal. It's incomprehensible and incomparable vastness. It's like a boundless ocean, a boundless ocean. And Kabir is the one that donates or indicates the essence of greatness. So there's another word that we're going to, another divine name that we'll pair with this, but let's do just Kabir together. We'll do it. Getting my prayer beads off here, excuse me. We'll do it just 33 times together. And I'm tangled, sorry. The first 11 we'll say with the Yah, the honorific, oh dear, oh precious, divine greatness, Yah Kabir. And then we'll whisper just Kabir. And then we'll silently repeat the name Kabir inside. And what we're doing is invoking that part of our being that can connect with that divine name. And we're asking that divine name in all of its vibrations and meaning to come from the universe and touch something in us. So we're looking for that connection. And it's not something we can do with the mind. It's something we do, or even with the lips. It's in the heart. So just whatever that visualization might be for you, for this vastness, this beautiful vastness, whether it's the sea, whether it's the sky, whether it's just space, whether it's something open in you, go to that place as we repeat, Ya Kabir. And we begin together, keep muted, but say it with me, wherever you are. Ya Kabir. 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 Take a breath. You don't need to figure out how to open to the vastness. The vastness will open you. The greatness will open you. You don't need to figure it out. You don't need to say, am I doing it right? Is something happening? It is. And now we whisper just the word Kabir, and we breathe in Kabir and out Kabir. In Kabir, out Kabir. Kabir, 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 Kabir. And now silent breath. And now silently, just breathe in the word Kabir and out Kabir. Ya Kabir. The companion to Kabir in this practice is Muta Kabir. So it's Kabir, but it's also M-U-T-A. And then it's K-A-B-B-R. So there's a little bit of emphasis on the ta and the Kabir. So there's two little points of accentuation. But what is Muta Kabir? It means supreme greatness. So it's beyond great, it's greater than great, it's beyond the beyond. And it's the perfection of greatness. And again, perfection is a little bit of a touchy word there because everything is perfect as it is. It really is. It's our vision that makes it not appear to be so. But a little few more words about Kabir. It's a continual action of dissolution of boundaries. So when we come up against some sort of limitation or the rock in the road, the pebble in the shoe, the rock, you know, between a rock and a hard place, Muta Kabir can help us get around that because it keeps dissolving the boundaries. Dissolving the boundaries of our own limitations, the notions of who we are, the limited view of circumstances. It helps to dissolve that. It's divine greatness and it's divine power at every moment and in every incident. It is said that Mutta Kabir is empathic form of the root of KBR, which then of course comes Kabir. And it's interesting. How can this quality be empathic? But it is, because it's experiencing the greatness in the finite, dissolving the boundaries so that we can loosen those boundaries a little bit to get an understanding of the wisdom of the infinite. So it's this empathy, an empathetic relationship and an empathic relationship. So let us now just do Mutta Kabir in 11, 11, 11 for 33. Then we'll bring the practices together. And when I send out the study guide for this, I have a link to the voice of a native speaker in Arabic saying these words, so you can hear how it would be said in the native language. Okay. Yamuta Kabir. Yamuta Kabir. I'm going to stop right here because I can't help but share this with you. It's every time I've done this practice, it feels like I'm on a trampoline, and it's like Mutta Kabir, Mutta Kabir. So it's kind of like we're jumping and we're getting, you know, have you ever had jumping dreams or flying dreams or been on a trampoline and you just go high or on a swing high? It's kind of like that. We're going to these other levels and the smallness is getting dissolved and we're getting a bigger view. So I don't know if you'll feel that. That's just my personal experience, but I share it with you because maybe you get that sense of that when we hit that Mutta Kabir. Okay, we continue. We'll begin again. Yamuta Kabir. 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 Take a breath. And now we just whisper in and out. Mutta Kabir. Mutta Kabir. Mutta Kabir. Breathe. And now we'll just do the practice silently on the breath. And it's kind of like blowing this practice into infinite space, becoming part of infinite space and all of its greatness and vastness, helping us to move beyond limitations and connect with the great oneness, breathing in and out silently, Mutta Kabir. Mutta Kabir. Now let's put them together and we see how we feel with those. So Kabir being great, this quality of greatness, but Mutta Kabir is like super greatness, beyond greatness. Those of you that know I keep hearing internally the Gate Gate Par, Gate Par Samgate Bodhiswaha, that beyond the beyond. It's beyond, it's greatness and beyond. And we're reaching out and in simultaneously to connect that part of ourselves that is eternally informed by that greatness with the greatness of that vibration throughout the whole universe, throughout all time and space, throughout all understanding and wisdom, connecting those in the heart of each of us. So now, 11 times, Ya Kabir, Ya Mutta Kabir. Take a breath in, a breath out, and we begin. And those that are new here, why do we say things in Arabic or in Latin or in Sanskrit? Think about it. Also sometimes in Aramaic, some of us study Aramaic. When I was a little girl, and you all have heard this story, most of you have, you know, the nuns used to tell me to tune to the breath and realize that as I'm breathing in the molecules that Jesus breathed in, or we could say Buddha or Muhammad, Jesus, whatever the beautiful being is that inspires you and hope, perhaps they all do. To tune to those vibrations of all the great composers that ever made beautiful music. It still exists. Those things don't cease. But think of all the holy beings, and each being is a holy being. And to think of all the beautiful environments, the mosques, the cathedrals, the temples that have received the vibration of these prayers. They go on. If you visited a sacred site, you feel it. You know it's there. You know that place has been prayed. And you feel it. We're tuning to that vibration. We're not using an esoteric language just to use it. We're tuning to the infinite vibration of the prayer that's been said far longer than English. So think of that, okay? As we say, Ya Kabir, Ya Mutta Kabir. Okay. Ya Kabir. Ya Mutta Kabir. 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 And if you want to add a slight head movement, Ya Kabir, coming into the heart, lifting. Ya Mutta Kabir, Ya Kabir, 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 Ya Mutta Kabir. Ya Kabir, Ya Mutta Kabir. Breathe in and breathe out. Tuning to the greatness, having full confidence, or even if lack thereof, it's happening. It's happening. The greatness is. And it is in us too. It cannot be otherwise. So now we breathe in, Kabir, and we breathe out. First whispering, in, Kabir, and out, Mutta Kabir. So, Kabir, Mutta Kabir, Kabir, Mutta Kabir. Tucker. Just take a deep breath in and out. Expansion. Opening to infinite possibilities, infinite goodness, infinite wisdom, infinite love, infinite patience and compassion. All that resides in this greatness. And now we breathe in and out. First in silently, Kabir, and out, Muta Kabir. 11 times. Breathe in and out, Muta Kabir. In, Kabir, and out, Muta Kabir. Ya Kabir, Ya Muta Kabir. Just sit with it. I have just a few more words of Murshid's, and then another practice for us to think about doing together. And then if there's some question and answers, we'll have those. Or if you want to share your experience of the practice, feel free to do that, and then we can chat a little bit at a certain point. I'll tell you I'm closing the window and we'll conclude the class. So now I'm reading again from Murshid's words. He says, there are many imaginative and intelligent people who, day after day, read the newspapers and draw the conclusion that there must be war. Now remember, this was, Murshid was in Russia actually, when the revolution was about to break out, and he lived through World War I. So, this is that time, but those words couldn't be too much off the mark as of today. It's like we on the brink of something, who knows? And certainly we're at a kind of war. I think we're hopefully winning it with COVID, and I have words about that, but I'll leave those to another time. Then Murshid goes on to say, an icon goes on to say, every little struggle they or we read about gives us or them the idea that the world is going to pieces. Turn the news on, there it is. Murshid says, other people interested in astrology who have gone further than the ordinary astrology expect the end of the world year after year, month after month. We know that there were mystics that were talking about this ages ago and predicting the end of days. He's referring a little bit to that. And so he says, what I mean to say is that the best thing is to go through every condition that life presents with patience, with understanding, with open eyes, and try to rise above it with every little effort one can make. So, someone has made an error in judgment of you, or someone has hurt you in some way, or someone has done something bad to you, or we turn on the news and we judge this political party against that political party or this opinion against that opinion. The best thing to do when in every condition in life, whatever is presented, meet it with patience, with understanding, open eyes, and to try to rise above it with every little effort that you can make. Every little effort. He goes on to say, now coming to the other side of the subject, how can one tune with the infinite? So he's been talking about all of this is the finite. And he's been indicating, go there. We're going to go towards the infinite. The nature of being in tune with the infinite can be seen by comparing one's soul with the string of an instrument. And I know some of you are musicians. And Murshid was too, very fine one, very many accolades and awards he received. When a person is conscious all the time of the finite, he or she is tuned to the finite. And the one who is conscious of the infinite is tuned to the infinite. Those of you that know some of the teaching traditions of the Native Americans were the teachings of Little Mouse and Eagle. Little Mouse only can see this, only before its nose, little. And the eagle soars and has a big perspective. We actually need both. And knowing the wisdom is to know when to focus and when to expand. Kabir, Yamunta Kabir, can help you. And remembering to be thankful for everything. Murshid goes on to say, when you're tuned to the finite, that's where your vision is, that's where your existence is. When you're tuned to the infinite, that's where your existence is. But he goes, being in tune with one makes one limited, weak, hopeless, powerless. So if you're feeling any of those things, remember you've formed these boundaries about a very finite view. Release it. It's not true. It may feel true, and we make it more true, to tell you the truth, by concentrating on that finite view. He says, by being in tune with the other, meaning the infinite, we obtain the power and strength to pull through life under all adverse conditions. Now, this isn't a person that's floating on a cloud. He understood adverse conditions. He went through many himself. If you read his biography or you've read any of the accounts of his brothers that were writing about Murshid's life, it gives you a complete picture of a human being, not someone that's sitting taking a photo. So he understood that, and he's speaking from that point of view. If you've read Jalaluddin Rumi, you know that too. He's always talking about love and pain, but there was a wisdom and a truth that came through that understanding. So embrace it. Don't try to push anything away and don't grasp at anything. Just feel the energy of it. Use the energy like in Tai Chi or the martial arts. You use that energy to propel yourself. Like you use Kabir and Muta Kabir, use those practices. They will help you, they will guide you. You don't even have to believe in them. I think something happens just by doing them and trying to shift the thinking. So Murshid, last words, and I will replace the word Sufi here with many things because he says that the work that a Sufi considers, and I would say, a human being, a person that's trying to awaken, someone that has great heart. You can replace that word Sufi. The work that a Sufi considers his or her sacred work has nothing to do with any particular creed nor any particular religion. It is only this simple thing which I have just said. Here it is. Bing. The ears go up. to be in rhythm with life's conditions, and to be in tune with the infinite. To be in rhythm with life's conditions, and to be in tune with the infinite. Well, there's much more, much more that I could say, but I think I'm going to keep you waiting for it, and I'm going to add this to my list of things to talk about next time we meet. Now, I'm going to do some PSAs because I want to conclude this section in my edit for your purposes of discretion. If you don't want to be out on the internet, our conversation will remain private with us, and your names and all of that will be, they will not be seen. I want to respect your privacy. But I do have these announcements before, let's do our closing prayer actually, and then we'll do the announcements. And then continue if you wish to stay for question and answer. So we'll close with the prayer Katu. O thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand love. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect. I send my love to each and every one of you forever and ever. Love is the most powerful thing in the world. Don't ever forget it. Let your heart radiate that in all conditions.